Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Good stuff coming up for you in the entertainment block. We'll get into some Gilligan's Island talk. We've got Metallica's Black album to talk about as well. A little bit later, how many of us think doing the dishes count as exercise?
Okay.
And we'll get into our schedule for the day, some local good stories and some local things going on in our area, including a blood drive happening.
That's right.
All that coming up for you. But we, of course, kick off where so many other morning shows have touched on today. Someone that works for Major League Baseball decided that Ingrid Andreas should sing the national anthem at the Home Run Derby. I don't know if that person still has a job. I'm not sure about that one. So have you heard any of this already, Melissa?
I listened to it this morning.
Okay. And by now, I imagine that much of our audience might have heard it, but I don't think it'd be fair to talk about it without playing it.
Are you really?
Yes, I'm going to play it.
Oh, man.
You're a journalist. Don't you think that's the best way to handle this?
Yeah, I suppose.
We can't talk about it if nobody's heard it. We got to make sure they've heard it. So here it is.
Okay.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed by the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
They're clapping because it's over. So I can talk, sing. I can barely sing. I don't feel fair, like commenting on a singer. But I am curious, Melissa, because everybody is taking shots at this. I want to talk to somebody who knows how to sing. I want to talk to some. Was this even in her range? You know, should she have even been chosen for this? I think is a good question to have.
Well, whether or not she should have been chosen, I can't say. Singing that song a cappella is always a risk. If you start it a little bit too high, you're out of luck by the end, which she very obviously was. It may have been in her range had she started in the right key.
Oh, okay.
She did change keys several times throughout the song, so she could have just pitched it a little lower at some point.
She was all over the place.
She took a lot of
liberties?
Creative risks that she should not have, in my opinion, because she didn't pull them off. It doesn't sound to me like she was well rehearsed. She was out of breath a lot. It was an overall really poor performance. That being said, I have to give her kudos for powering through to the end.
Yes.
Even though it was awful. It was absolutely awful, and the ending was horrendous. She still kept going.
And she's out there with a bunch of athletes that know what it means to have unreasonable confidence. Every athlete in the world has some kind of confidence in them or some kind of belief in themselves that got them to where they are. And I'm curious if, as a singer, as she was singing, if she felt she was doing good or not, if she could feel that it was going poorly, and she just pushed through, or I'm killing this, like I'm nailing this, and I don't know, I don't know her reactions. I will say, this has killed careers before, and it could for her. It's not like with Fergie. It destroyed her career, but her career was already on the downswing, and she was a pop star. This young lady is a country artist, and
she's been multiple time Grammy nominated. Like when they introduced her with that opening on the video I saw this morning, I was like, okay, well, maybe. And then the performance was, there is no way, unless all of her Grammy nominations were completely studio recorded. This is not an artist that performs live.
This is the only thing I know about her is that she's a four-time Grammy nominee. Everybody keeps saying that. It's the only thing I've heard about her, the only thing I've read up until this point. I'm curious to see how she handles this in social media, how she handles this going forward. I think that throwing yourself on the mercy of the court is your best option when it comes to this, because it's one thing to not nail a song. To not nail the national anthem or the Star Spangled Banner can be a death nail. Roseanne wasn't even a singer, and it killed her career in many ways. It took her a decade to come back from that, from her debacle of, and that's the worst. That is the worst, like anthem or any of that we've ever seen. It was she did it as a joke, and it bombed horribly, and as it should. Not. You can't. Right.
That's not what you do with the national anthem.
I heard somebody say once, unless your name is Marvin Gaye or Whitney Houston, just do the song. Mm-hmm. You know, don't. But and I agree with that. But at the same time, every singer believes that they're Whitney Houston or Marvin Gaye. Like almost every singer. I'm not saying every singer, but so many of them get to that point. What I was saying before about athletes and the confidence that they have. So many of these people get to that point because they have a confidence that they believe in.
Well, you're not going to get to where some of these people are without that confidence.
Yeah.
But now this might drive a little bit of traffic to her other music just to see.
Yeah.
The mark fell so far from the expectation.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious now to see what her actual singing voice sounds like.
Let's hear from a caller. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Yeah, that was a pretty lousy. But one thing I cannot stand at all is every time the seventh inning stretches on at Amfam Field, they bring in Bob Kozlowski or whatever his name is. He's almost as old as I am. They can't find anybody that's 20-something or 30-something that can sing that song as well. Or even a teenager that can sing that song as well. I'm sure there are. I mean, he's been doing this for at least 5 years, I guess. The same guy.
Yeah.
I hate it. When it's on TV, I mute it when he's on.
You're not alone. I've heard this from a number of my friends, sir. Yeah.
The mute button's a handy tool.
Yeah, sure is. Sure. Appreciate the call as always, sir. Have a great morning. Great day. I will say, too, whatever happens from it or anything, I do think that it your opening point of deserving credit for finishing the song, I think, is important. And I do also think that we got to play the Star Spangled Banner this morning. Maybe not a great version, but we got to do that, and I think that's great.
To be fair, our national anthem is not easy to sing. It's a hard song. It's got a very broad range.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of singers that don't have that type of range. So the fact that, yes, she persevered, that's an enormous amount of pressure to perform that song in front of that kind of stadium with that amount of people in it.
But
so
that could be a career killer.
Like, kudos to her for finishing it.
I'm really curious to see how she handles this. Among all of this, she's got a brand new album she's promoting. So, yeah, I don't know how that goes over. Jennifer Lopez is having a hard time selling music right now. I don't know.
Well, like I said, this might drive a little bit of interest just to see, well, if she did that bad on that song, what's the rest of her album sound like?
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm with you. She does not sound like...
Morbid curiosity.
She doesn't... This is the other thing, too. Like, if she was a pop star, that'd be one thing, but she's a country star. And country stars, if there's a number of things I have learned about country music, if it's one thing if it's a good song on the album, but you better be able to do that live. Like, if you can't perform live, you'll get eaten alive by that audience. You'll get eaten alive by that industry. You have no career in that industry. So the fact that she's a four-time Grammy nominee and everything, it seems like she's got at least somewhat of a career, but I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Hear those four, if it was four different songs, I'm curious to hear them.
Agreed. I think they should have just gotten Metallica to do it. I mean, why not? You know, what, have Lars and the boys and, you know, Kirk and all them go out there. Metallica's self-titled 1991 album. I'm joking, by the way. I don't think they should have had Metallica do it. Although it'd be a pretty interesting Star Spangled Banner, I'm sure.
Yeah, it might be.
Metallica's self-titled 91 album, also known as the Black Album, has become only the fourth album in history to spend 750 weeks on the Billboard top 200.
Whoa.
That is impressive. Mm-hmm. I always find this one interesting when you see these albums that have been on there forever. Mm-hmm. Here are the top three. Of course, many people know Dark Side of the Moon from Pink Floyd has spent a record 990 weeks on the album charts. Ooh. This has been going on so long. Over 20 years ago when I first started in radio, this was one of the first stories I touched on.
Mm.
That's how long this has been going on. Legend from Bob Marley, 843 weeks. Rightfully okay. so. Wow. Rightfully so. Great album. Mm-hmm. Not a bad song on that album. And Greatest Hits from Journey at 813 weeks. Pretty impressive. Okay. Pretty impressive. And then comes in the Black Album that has sold over more than 17 million copies, making it the best-selling album on of the SoundScan era. Which began in 91, the year it was released.
Cool.
Kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. Yeah. It's the most modern of all of those albums on there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those, while we see a lot of records come and go with in the music industry lately, like, you know, so-and-so beat the Beatles and that kind of thing. There's ones like this that will, you know, we can't know until obviously much into the future. I would love to flash forward into the future and find out, like, what, you know, the Beyonce, the Taylor Swift, one of these kind of albums ends up in there or not.
James, if you could flash forward into the future, that's what you'd want to know.
I've told you a million times. I've told the audience a million times. I would waste a time machine. Don't give me one. Don't give me one, everybody. James, we
all
need.
Right. I'm taking that off your Christmas list.
It's a good idea, because I will waste it. James, we need you to go back in time and save so-and-so. Okay, I'll do it. And then I come back, and I've got all these concert shirts on and everything. Like, hey, where's the guy? We needed you to go get the guy. Oh, I am so sorry. I was at the Monterey Pop Festival watching Miles Davis the first time he performed there. It was amazing, you guys. It was, look, I got this shirt. don't ask me to do it. I'll be going back and watching Roberto Clemente in the World Series. I'll be going back and, you know, see Willie Mays first at bat. Oh my God, just thinking about it, Melissa. Please give me that time machine.
No.
Oh man,
no time machine for you.
I want to go back and see Al Pacino on this his first play. Oh wow, that'd be so much fun. maybe even going back and seeing the first time on set at Gilligan's Island. Seeing how that was up.
That would be interesting.
A lot of things on Gilligan's Island didn't make sense, but that hasn't stopped generations of Americans loving the show. It's still one of the most popular rerun shows in history.
Mm-hmm.
Still, if you demand logic from your classic sitcoms, we might be able to help you out with one of the show's biggest mysteries, but it might not satisfy you. Mr. and Mrs. Howell, you know, the millionaire and his wife, seem to have an endless supply of clothes.
Yeah.
So why did they pack so much or anything at all, really, if they were just going on a three-hour tour?
Mm-hmm.
It was just a three-hour tour. Why did they pack all that clothes? I can tell you where they got the clothes from all the guest stars. How did the Globetrotters end up on the
island?
The show's creator, the late Sherwood Schwartz, explained in the past that it's meant to show how the rich always manage to have the best of everything, no matter the circumstances. So it's not grounded in logic, but it's still in an interesting choice, metaphorically speaking, that is.
Yeah.
Also, the Howls were originally supposed to be the only characters with a change of clothes, but Ginger and Marianne had a variety of outfits as well.
Yeah, well, just to keep interest.
I remember watching that show a bit with my Nana and Papa, but I don't remember like much of the plots or much of the things that happened. I remember Gilligan messing up and the captain smacking him or something like that.
Skipper.
Smacking. Mm-hmm. And I do remember those two being very funny. I remember as a little kid laughing at those two characters quite a bit. I didn't really care much about the rest of the cast, to be honest. But I did care. I did like those two. I thought that those guys were funny.
Well, and a lot of the plots in that show weren't based in reality. Like, I mean, they were silly. It was silly, fun entertainment.
It always
didn't have to make sense.
Going back to my papa, this is one of those things that I've always found kind of funny, and I do this too. I am not at all pointing the finger, but I got 3 points right back at me. But when we watch TV shows and where we choose to like be like, okay, that's where the line is crossed for you. Now all of a sudden it's too unrealistic. the 3-hour tour, all these things, all the guest stars, but them changing clothes all the time. That's where. Okay, so that's the big divide for you. My papa, it was the Andy Griffith Show and the fact that they never got messy when they ate tacos. It drove them crazy. How do you not get messy eating tacos? They would never shut the door behind them. They would never shut a door behind them when they'd walk in a room. And he's like, who does that? I want to hear from the audience. What are some of your pet peeves about TV shows? Yeah, what are some of the things that you see? I know for my sister, it was nobody ever said goodbye on the phone. They just hung up. They did.
Yeah.
That was one for her. So we'll keep that running topic going. We'll hear from the audience and hear from anybody out there as they come to mind. Write them down and share them with us, everybody. For now, we'll take a time out. We'll check in with our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Now, that's a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm. Very unique sound.
She is very missed. Yes. One of the more unique voices I think I heard growing up.
Lead singer of the Cranberries.
Yeah. I won't lie. I wasn't a huge Cranberries fan or anything, but I liked a couple of their songs, and I really liked her a lot. I love a unique voice. Just to kind of give our ears a palate cleanser here a little bit there. It was that or I make Melissa sing, and I didn't want to do that to her. It's not fair.
Dolores O'Riordan.
Thank you. I knew it was Dolores. Sorry, Melissa. Thank you.
That's okay. I was trying to say her last name correctly.
Yeah, I did want to mess it up, so I didn't even say your name, but I was going to say Dolores, and I couldn't think of the last name. Thank you for that.
O'Riordan.
Wonderful singer. Very missed. Wanted to take a moment to talk about some local theater and remind everybody that the Pittsville Area Community Theater has a couple more performances of the Tin Woman.
That's correct. This weekend in Pittsville, you can see The Tin Woman. I don't have it up in front of me.
They are going to have Friday and Saturday shows, Friday at 7:30, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, and then a 2 o'clock show.
Oh, nice.
That you can get your tickets and find out more at, let's see here, where did that go now? Pittsvilleact.org, pittsvilleact.org.
Mm-hmm.
Help them keep theater alive in the Pittsville area. They've got some incredible talented people over there working very hard to give you a great show. Take in these shows and support local theater, everybody.
Mm-hmm. And this is a difficult show.
Yeah.
It's a dramatic comedy, but it does deal with loss of a child and then a woman who receives those organs and then how that... those conflicts and that difficulty of, you know, survivor guilt, how that plays out. It's a powerful show.
I'm proud of the community theaters throughout the country. I've done some research on this over the last couple of weekends and reaching out to just different states and trying to find out, you know, community interactions with their local theaters and everything. Mm-hmm. And we focus a lot on Central Wisconsin because that's what we do around here.
Oh, yeah.
But I was curious to see, is it just here or is it going on? And every bit of data I can find throughout the country, community theaters have been struggling since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that's not surprising to anybody out there. But what I think would be is encouraging is how many local theaters have been being embraced by their community. And mm-hmm. a lot of them were, before the pandemic, their ticket sales were this. And now here we are 3 years after the pandemic or longer, and their ticket sales have risen. They've gone up. Out of the seven that I talked to, they had that numbers to report, and I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah,
that's good news. One common theme that every one of these had, along with of course a community that supports them, is that they are not just doing Oklahoma. They are not just, and this isn't me taking a shot at Oklahoma. If you love the play Oklahoma, that's fantastic. But it is using that as an example of people, audiences want something different now. They want something real.
Yeah. They're not just looking for your typical Neil Simon comedy. Although those are still very popular. But a show like Wit that deals with real life struggles that, you know, we or people connected to us have experienced and dealt with are relatable to real life, and people want to see that.
Yeah.
Versus just being entertained by a comedy.
Yeah, which and there's room for both. Yeah. You can have both. If you're fortunate, like we are here in Rapids, with our local community theater, where we get four main stage shows a year, you can do a little bit of both. I think our theater, and I'm biased, but it doesn't mean I'm wrong. I think our theater does this very well. I use it as an example in these conversations with these directors and executive directors that I talk to. And one of the things that I'm encouraged by is this idea that we can balance both. Plenty of communities are like ours, where you have a very mix of ages, and you don't want to alienate either audience. So how do you cover this? Well, you do what a lot of theaters like ours is doing, where you have a bit of the mix of the old and young. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud to see that evolution. Nobody told anybody to do this. We figured it out ourselves. And I think that that's pretty cool, and it keeps theater alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Because honestly, I would give up TV and movies if it meant I had to choose theater, TV, or movies. It's not even a blink of an eye, theater. Every single time, theater. Yeah. There are no reruns in theater.
Nope.
You may have seen a show seven times. That eighth time, going to be completely different. And I think
whether it was on purpose or not.
Yes. And with that, I want to say congratulations, although we have not seen the cast yet, but congratulations to everybody that auditioned for It's a Madhouse yesterday.
Yes, it sounds like she had a lot of people show up for auditions, and that's wonderful. Of course, everybody can't get a role.
Yeah, but we send a shout out to all the parents and everybody that brought their kids down for that and wish them a great run. They've got production dates of August 3rd and 4th. August 3rd will be a 7 o'clock. August 4th, a 2 o'clock.
And that's not far away. These Hopewell productions are so fast. It's such an impressive feat.
It's impressive. It's just impressive what they're able to do. I've long been a lover of Hopewell Productions and a big appreciator of what Gretchen and Stephanie created with that. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the cooler things this town has ever done. Period.
Yeah,
very neat. And we want to support these kids. Be sure to get your tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org, and get ready for Midsummer-ish.
Yay, that's this Thursday.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're performing at Lunch by the River, so you want to get down there at 11:30 so you can get a good seat.
Yeah, and support these kids. And have a great time, everybody. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that tomorrow and get everybody ready for it on tomorrow and Thursday. But find out more and get your tickets for not only the Hopewell production of It's a Madhouse, but for the 2024-25 50th season of WRCT.
It's a great lineup of shows this season, so you're not going to be disappointed.
Every single one of these a banger. Drinking Habits kicks off the fall production. The holiday production, Irving Berlin's classic White Christmas. In winter, Arsenic and Old Lace. And wrapping up in spring, directed by the great Melissa Kay, Noises Off.
Yes, it's a fun show. So, and a great season. Get your season tickets now, and then you get your choice of seats as well.
We're going to take a time out, check in with our news break here, our and some sports. When we come back, how many of us think that doing the dishes counts as exercise? Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, we are locally grown radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Little salt and pepper to play us in. Hope y'all are having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. Ladies are touring again, I believe.
Salt and
pepper. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I would see that. I would see that show. Yeah. Great band. Great band. Very interesting, too, to hear more and more history about the band and how the songs were written, some of that. And it's interesting.
I've not heard any of that.
Oh, it's pretty cool, actually. It's an interesting tell. A new poll of 2,000 Americans found a third of us think everyday chores like doing the dishes count as exercise now.
I concur.
I just have one quibble with this, they say that this counts as exercise now. This is always counted as exercise. 98% of people say you don't need to go to the gym to get a good workout, and 54% of us never see the inside of a gym. But the average person still claims to exercise 4 times a week. People were asked to name the top everyday tasks that they count as an exercise. We got the top 10 for you. Before we dive too much farther into this, I mentioned before my father is an athlete, and growing up, one of the first things he taught me was how to box and how to work out, how to take care of my body. And I have done the routine that he has taught me my whole life. And currently, up until the last couple of weeks where I was dealing with some pain and injuries, and I was trying to let my body recover, I work out at least 4 times a week. And I have not been in the gym in probably 15, 20 years.
Yeah, you don't need a gym to work out.
No, and I encourage people to, I'm not, nothing against gyms, but not everybody can afford a gym membership.
Right.
And that oftentimes will be the excuse or the reason why, okay, well, I can't afford that, so I'm not going to take care of myself, or I'm not going to work out or do things. We're going to give you a list right now of ways that you already are working out, and that you can maybe lean into that a little bit more and do some extra stretching or do maybe an extra lap around or whatever it might be to keep you healthier and to keep you around longer, because you got loved ones and you got people that want you around. People were asked to name them. Here they are, top 10. They start a little iffy maybe, but I think all of these count. Like walking around your neighborhood. 74% say that all...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Say all walking you do in a day counts as exercise.
Yes.
Taking the stairs instead of an elevator. 60% of people do that.
Absolutely.
I used to do that when I worked in the city a lot, especially at Second City. Anybody... And I'll admit, though, it wasn't just for the exercise. You take the elevator, and it's only 2 floors, so you take the elevator, that's fine. But if you don't take the elevator, there is a couple of murals they have on the staircases, and one of them that you walk right into, actually the classrooms that I used to teach in, has a mural of all the Second City legends that have we've lost, like Gilda Radner and Belushi and Farley. And I don't know, I couldn't walk past it and not get inspired. And so that was part of it for me. That was a little bit. Doing yard work. 59% of people consider that exercise.
Heck yeah. Yard work is hard work.
Yes, yes. Cleaning. Yeah.
Yes.
Another 59% agree with that one.
Another thing that is hard work.
Taking your dog for a walk. Yeah.
Again, walking.
Yeah. It's not just the, you know, Fido that's getting the exercise there.
No, and then bending over to pick up the leavings of your dog is also stretching. So, hey, workout and a stretch.
Didn't even think of that. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. as a side note, has anybody named their dog Fido since 1954? Has any?
There's
got to be, right? There's got to be. Fido still.
Somebody does.
I wonder how popular of a dog named Fido still is. I kind of want to name a dog that just to bring it back a little bit.
You just want a dog, James.
I just want a dog. I just want a dog so bad. Bring it. There's this dog at the Humane Society I keep looking at. Coop. I want Coop. He's a good dog. Bringing groceries in from the car. You darn right it is.
Oh yeah, you're lifting, carrying, walking.
I have done this
potentially stairs
with my shoulders and my long arms. My mom and dad have looked at me as nothing but a coat rack for most of my life. That they can they can put things on. I'm not even kidding. Like since the age of 13, at least, I have been used for these things. But I am a poor example of this. Your example number one any mom, like any mom, single mom, moms with 20 kids, moms with a partner at home, all moms are amazing at this. Yes, because they've had to
indeed.
Be. Mm-hmm. Gardening comes in at number number 7 with 40%.
Absolutely. Again, it's hard work.
Yeah. Taking out the trash.
Yes. I mean, it's short, hard work, but it's still work.
And there you go. Nicely done, Melissa. You brought up the word that I think it gets in people's heads with this. It just took me a minute. Oh, it just took me a second. Well, plenty of exercising is like that. There's a lot of it. For every guy, person in the gym that is looking for that extra rep, and they've been at the bench press for 20 minutes now and everything, and you're waiting to use it, there are plenty of people that are plenty of exercises that do not take that much time.
Right.
Stretching after getting out of bed, 35% of people consider that exercise.
Well, that's you're making your body move in ways that you don't normally do it. That's got to count.
One of the better things you can do for your body on a daily basis is just stretching.
Mm-hmm.
I try to do it every morning before I get going here. I don't always make the time, I'll admit, but I really do try to do it in the studio here before I get going any day.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, doing dishes or a load of laundry. 33% think that counts as exercise.
I mean, it's motion, and you're doing a task. I say it's a pretty lightweight exercise, but yeah.
Yeah. Let's hear from our listeners here. Good morning. What's on your mind?
I would like to turn an anniversary in.
Ooh, oh, sure. Okay. Is it for today?
No, tomorrow, 17th.
Okay. Normally, you would call in off air to our front desk for that, but we'll take it right here.
Oh, Harold and Helen Fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R.
All right.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Have a great day, miss.
You bet.
Thank
you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. We appreciate you. Thank you. We'll be talking about them tomorrow, wishing them a happy anniversary tomorrow.
But we get to wish them a happy anniversary Eve now.
We do kind of get an extra one in. So
yeah.
Harold and Helen Fuller, happy anniversary, pre-anniversary to you guys. That made me smile. That was a good one. Thank you for the call, miss. Thank you for that. And certainly keep in mind that you can get us those birthdays and anniversaries anytime, whether we're on air or not, 424-1300 or info@WFHR.com.
Mm-hmm.
What are some other examples, Melissa? Because I feel like they really cover the gamut pretty good here. Can you think of any other examples of I would say mowing the lawn is another one.
Yeah, I mean, they do
but that kind of covered
work,
in yard
that
work.
Kind of
yeah.
Covered with yard work. But you do, there are other things you don't, do every week with it. Like you typically mow your lawn once or twice a week. But there's some other things that you could do, like extra weeding in a flower bed. That's maybe not something you do every week. That would be additional. Or in my case, taking the sod that's grown over the top of the sidewalk off. It's added work you would not normally do, but sometimes it needs to be done.
I think that's actually pretty good, because the only thing I could really think to add to this is the stretching with all of these activities. You don't have to stretch before every activity, but you get your stretches in once a day, and then you do that before any one of these activities. One, I think you're going to notice a difference, and two, your body's going to notice a difference.
Yeah, and just a side note with stretching, it is important to not overstretch.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if your muscles are cold.
Man.
If you're just getting out of bed, you should stretch gently.
Mm-hmm.
If you've started an exercise, like maybe you did some dishes or folded a basket of laundry, following that is a great time to stretch.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get, your muscles are a little bit warmed up, you're going to get a little more benefit from the stretch at that point.
I don't think it's fair that as we get older, we can even hurt ourselves stretching, though. To Melissa's point about overstretching,
it's not an old thing, James.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it just feels like it happens more now that when I'm older than it does what I ever did when I was young. That's all.
Well, we're just not as we don't bounce back as fast now.
You're telling me. We will take a quick time out, check in with some partners. When we come back, we'll take you to the top of the hour, wrap up the show. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us today. We hope you're having a great one out there. We're going to make sure to leave you in good hands. We got Matt and Air on the air coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to join us from that. Jane and Greg do a great job taking you through your early morning here from 10 to noon. Be sure to join them for that.
Absolutely.
More on our schedule in a moment, but got to get to a couple of interesting stories real quick here. First off, tomorrow, Seth and Melissa and I are going to get into a really, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this story. I will send it to you guys, Melissa, okay. So you guys can read it too. Mystery group prowls town conducting mischievous kindness. Stealing and restoring and returning garden gnomes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's an interesting article. I will send that to you and Seth, okay. And we'll have some fun with that one tomorrow. That should be fun. Okay. And that comes to us from the goodnewsnetwork.org, and encourage you to check out the goodnewsnetwork.org, especially if you need a palate cleanser. They do great reporting, factual reporting, and good stories.
Mm-hmm.
Like this one right here, if those that did not hear, an ancient temple and theater has been identified in Peru as dating back 4,000 years.
Wow.
Placing it among the oldest man-made structures in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
Located in northern province of Zana, archaeologists have been alerted by authorities of looting taking place over there, but they have been able to squash that. And a team from the Field University of Chicago accompanied an institute in Peru to get to work last June. A mere 6 feet below the surface, the evacuators found walls of mud and clay extending the survey plot to 33 feet in length.
Wow.
And they uncovered what seemed to be a theater with a backstage area and staircase that led up to a rising platform.
Oh, cool.
So just more examples of how long we've been entertaining each other through the arts.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great article. Encourage you to check it out. Andy Corbley does a nice job with this one. You can find it again at goodnewsnetwork.org.
Mm-hmm.
And another story from over there, just as we like to wrap up with good stories of the day. This is a beautiful one. A proud grandmother danced into the night at her granddaughter's wedding, despite doctors predicting that she would never live to see the day.
Aww.
Doreen Cook has been dealing with a heart condition called aortic stenosis for several years, which blocks blood flow to her aortic valve.
Hmm.
She was told late last year that no treatment or operation would help, and her family were advising to prepare for the worst. But the 93-year-old defied the odds and happily joined the week-long festivities surrounding the wedding in Spain.
Oh, that's sweet.
And she was not, they could not get her off the dance floor. She would not leave. They kept asking her to. They kept asking.
Oh.
She was literally, we're not just exaggerating here. She was out there literally all night. There are like footage in social media and stuff of her like at 1 a.m. out there dancing harder than anybody else.
Which is why she is doing so well.
Hmm.
See, that daily exercise.
Yeah, there we go. Nice callback. Nice. Yes. Yes. Congratulations to her and really her family.
Yes. And that her granddaughter could, you know, have her there for her special day, because that's a big deal.
Can't imagine what that moment meant to her and that family. That's a really beautiful moment. We've got some great stuff again coming up here at our schedule for today. I told you, Matt and Air on Air coming up right after us from 10 to noon.
Yeah.
A little bit later, you got the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4. Be sure to join Maggie, one of the voices of Civic.
Mm-hmm. And I do want to mention that from noon to 2, the Todd Alba Show, Terry Bell is also going to join Todd Alba. They're down at the RNC, and they'll be giving coverage on the event that's happening there.
Great. Keep up to date on all the RNC coverage right here with our Civic Media stations. We encourage you to do that.
We have a live update page at civicmedia.us/RNC if you want to log in there to see what's going on.
Follow along, everybody. Certainly we're going to lead you into a Midday Magazine from 4 to 5 today. Be sure to join us for that in part one. We're going to talk with talk about Boy Scouts of America. We've got Kevin and Fabrina joining us for that. Looking forward to it. And in part two, CEO of Your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry John, is going to join us.
Hey, recognize that voice.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties and some amazing things that they have going on this summer. Looking forward to that. Before we get into Rafters talk, I did want to mention that this Saturday's game was rained out at Winterfield for those that did not hear. The game has been rescheduled. It's a doubleheader for Friday on the 26th at Moonlight Graham Field and Capco Park, home of the Lakeshore Chinooks.
Okay.
The first game will start at 4:05 p.m. with the second game to follow. There will be doubleheaders coming up that week, actually a couple times next week, as they're trying to make up some of these games.
Yeah, got to make them up when they're rained out.
Keep in mind that there is, because of some of this, there is no Playmakers Wednesday, but there will we will be back on Friday.
All right.
We will be here on Friday to make sure to get you ready for Rafter baseball. Looking forward to it. Rafters got an early start time again tonight as they are up in Michigan taking on Battle Creek. 5:20 start time for today and tomorrow, which again is why we don't have Playmakers.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of got a lot of great activities going on over at Winterfield. We're going to talk about those more tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Did want to remind everybody that lunches are available. Free meals are available for kids. Free meals are available to all children 18 years of age and under. You have Monday through Friday. You have lunches available for over at the Mead Parks near the Splash Pad on 14th Avenue South here in Rapids. Mm-hmm. That's available from 11:30 to 12:30. And 11:30 to 12:30 over at Witter Park near the shelter outside the Aquatic Center.
Nice.
Keep that in mind and spread the word about these and make sure that there is no hungry kids out there, everybody.
Yeah, it's great that they're doing this.
Just 5 minutes away from the blood drive kicking off right here in Rapids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's at the former East Junior High School from 10 to 3 today, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Be sure to check that out. We're calling all heroes. If you can donate, please do. The for those that did not hear, the Red Cross was really hit hard over the 4th of July weekend. A lot of their reserves were used up, so we need to refill those.
Mm-hmm. Yep, if you can, donate.
We appreciate all of you out there, all you heroes out there donating. Again, Wisconsin Rapids Blood Drive happening today at 311 Lincoln Street from 10 to 3. And keep in mind, we have another blood drive opportunity for you coming up.
On Friday at McMillan Library.
Yeah, from 10 to 3. We were just talking with Catherine about that yesterday as we had McMillan in.
Wonderful.
And speaking of the library and some of the fun things that they have going on over there, be sure to check out Four on the Floor next Thursday, July 25th, from 6:30 to 8 in their Fine Arts Center. Love that band. Great band.
Yeah. And Pete Ravel is such a treat.
Yeah, he's one of the best. and going on tonight over at McMillan Library as part of their summer family fun, Lego Free Build.
Is it tonight? I thought it was from like 1 to 2 today.
It's from 1. Did I say tonight? I'm sorry. From 1 to 2 today, this afternoon. I apologize. From 1 to 2
no worries.
This afternoon. Head on over to the McMillan Library's all-purpose room and enjoy. Have some fun with that one. God,
and
I love
be
Legos.
Be creative. Legos are so much fun.
God, Legos are awesome.
And then they're all left at the library, so you don't have to worry about stepping on one at home after playing.
Very well said. And tonight, join us for a great concert. Our Wisconsin Rapid City Band going to be performing live and direct from Robinson Park at 7:30.
Oh, wonderful.
Head on over there and check that out. If there is inclement weather, they will move to the Lincoln High School pack. Now, while tonight we may not have to worry about that, keep that in mind for future shows, because that will always be the reserve area.
Because they play almost every Tuesday, don't they?
Yes. And we love our city band. Let's help support them and give them a good crowd and make sure that they keep going and keep playing. Find out more at wrcityband.org, wrcityband.org.
And I believe we have little flyers at the station, too. If you want to stop down, you can grab that or the Rafters season schedule. We've got all those things there available for you.
Stop by, say hi to Pam, and pick them up, everybody. A nurse named Claire saved a man's life at the Charlotte airport last month after she noticed that he was having a heart attack while they both were both at the gate waiting for a flight. She jumped into action, performed CPR, even used a defibrillator. The man, 57-year-old Ken Jeffries, told Claire, "I am so appreciative and indebted to you."
Wow.
And a child in Canada dropped a postcard to her grandma into a mailbox but forgot to add the stamp. She was at a camp at the time, and one of the workers helped her put a sign on the mailbox alerting the mail person, and they even included a stamp with it. The mail person saw the sign, spent some time digging through all the mail to find the postcard, and put the stamp on it for the girl.
Wow. Our U.S. Postal Service going above and beyond.
A big shout out to our postal workers out there. We appreciate you. Keep up the great work. And thank you so much for all you do, including great stories like that.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's a pretty cool story. And we've got good stories going on throughout the whole community. We encourage you to reach out and let us know about them, everybody, so we can bring these people on the air or at least talk about them. And encourage you to reach out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Wham Inc. As they are looking for heroes.
That's right. You can nominate somebody for their heroes program, and maybe they'll win a t-shirt.
Yeah. You can find out more by liking their Facebook page, Quality Plus Printing, and certainly messaging them with these hometown heroes, or you can message them to us, and we'll make sure they get them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Phil will be joining us tomorrow morning with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday, along
Wicked
with
Awesome.
We'll have Seth with us, so Melissa, Seth, and I will have some fun. It's going to be a good show. Melissa, have a great day.
You too, James.
We'll be. We encourage you to treat yourselves and be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.